Good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. We got Rick in the studio. He's back finally. Morning, Rick.
Good morning.
And we got Jill away right now. Where is she right now?
In New York.
New York. Oh, that's right. She's having a time of her life in New York, which is Christmas time to go see the, you know, in the Plaza Hotel and the, all the, you know, the big tree out front of, and all the cool stuff. Man, that would be a great place to go see at Christmas is New York. But, Rick and I are here.
I think that Christmas tree comes from Canada too.
I think it does.
I believe it does.
It's big.
It's big.
1-877-332-8255. Now it's just Rick and I today. We're both, kind of feeling it this morning.
It's the season to have
Christmas get togethers and parties and all kinds of stuff. I was up late and you were up.
I wasn't up late, but ended up not going to sleep that well. So. But anyways, you know what? Coming home. Now I look out here and I see the ice going by on the river.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that when I left.
That's right. But, sure wasn't. Yeah.
I know it's seen the, even at the lake, there's ice fishing. Even that's where my grandson was out at 7 o'clock this morning. They were out ice fishing.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so I go, it's winter.
It's winter. It's pretty much arrived.
It's kind of nice having the snow down. I think it gets people more in the Christmas mood, you know. Once to have a brown Christmas is not great, and you know what? If even just the whole Christmas spirit of the whole thing and having snow down, but I mean, this much snow, I was glad to see it, because now the temperatures are starting to drop down to pretty cold. Is just having that little skiff of snow for the plants is essential.
Right. Yeah. Right?
It's essential for the plants. It's huge. And so if you have some spots where the snow might be melting away against the, you know, against the south side of the house, and just scrape some off the lawn and cover up some of those tender plants.
Mm, yep. Okay. Right? Mm-hmm.
So it's important because there's not that much snow.
Okay.
So it's, or if you have some bags, you know, I talk about people making those bags of leaves, pillows out of white plastic garbage bags, right? And lay them on top of some plants yet. If you don't think they have just not enough snow yet, especially on the south side or west side. And then that'll just help protect them for the rest of the wintertime. And then one thing I like about putting them in the bags, Jay, is that, you know, in the spring, you just pick up the bag.
Yeah.
Bring it over to your compost pile and dump it out, and you don't have to go and try to pick up a bunch of mushy leaves in the spring.
Yeah, totally. This fall I was, you know, raking leaves, you know, as often as I could.
Yeah.
But it gets to a point where, you know, all of a sudden, if you miss it, now the snow's on top.
Yeah.
So I'd say maybe I've got like 3/4 of the leaves picked up sort of in succession. And for my trees, they don't just go boof and dump it all at the same time. They fall off slowly.
Yeah, well, especially you got some birches.
Yeah.
And they sometimes will keep their leaves on most of the winter time too.
Right, so. Right. Mine are, I'd say like 95% of the leaves are off now.
Yeah.
Which
is a good thing. It means that they shut down properly.
Yeah.
When they hang them on for really long, that means they were probably too wet into the fall. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good thing.
But I couldn't get them all, right? So I do have to deal with a few mushy leaves probably, you know, next spring. But not all of them, which is good. And we're seeing, you know, periods of snow.
Well, it's coming, because I know I drove back through the mountains and on Thursday. And it was raining and snowing most of the way. So it was a good thing that when I was coming through, it was about +1, +2 when it was raining through the mountains. That was good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it switched really quick to -3, you know, and so then it was just snow. And but the roads were good. So
that's all right.
That's a good thing.
I got family here from Florida right now.
Oh.
they're here to see other family, but they're in for they are Canadians originally.
Yeah.
But you know, they haven't been in winter in a long time.
But you know what? One thing I enjoy about Saskatoon, no matter what you talk about the cold or anything, is that most of the time we see the sun.
Right.
You know, I was away for almost a month, right?
Okay.
And I think I was telling you before, Jay.
Yeah.
driving through Canmore and Banff area going to BC, right? And I took my sunglasses off. At that point, right?
Yeah.
I put my sunglasses back on when I drove back through Canmore and BC coming back into the prairies.
And
I saw the sun for about 2.5 days that whole time.
Wow.
That literally, honestly, that's about 2.5 days I saw. And well, I mean, you might saw them for maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. But that was, you know, some days, but most days, I think it was like 2.5 days where we saw the sun like fully out, like
out of the whole stretch. That whole stretch. Yeah, I guess. Right. Yep. So got to appreciate the sun that we get. That's true. Yep. All right. 1-877-332-8255. We've got, Rita, who's on the line in Saskatoon. Good morning, Rita. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm good. Thank you. My daughter picked up a little, I guess it's a juniper thing and a plant in at Dutch Growers, and it's got berries on and a little star at the top. It's yep. in a 4-inch pot.
Yep.
How much do I water it and how often?
Okay, so they just need, what you need to do is just stick your finger into the top until you get used to watering it, because every house is going to be different, okay, depending on the humidity levels and you got the humidifier or not and all those kind of things. So stick your finger in. You want the top about an inch and a half to dry out. And then mm-hmm. water it thoroughly so the water comes out through the bottom of the pot, right?
Oh.
And then leave it again to that top inch dries out again, okay? And
okay.
But they do like, if you can, they do like having a thing like a pebble tree, okay? So like some humidity that comes up through it, and you can even mist them if you want.
Yeah.
But a pebble tray is just a plastic tray underneath it, or plastic, you know, whatever you have for a tray underneath,
yeah.
a dish or something like that, a plate.
It could be a plate.
Put yeah. some rocks in it, right? And so set and set the pot on top of that, so there's water sitting in the rocks, but not the plant is sitting in the water. Okay. And that,
okay.
And that water evaporates through up through the plant, and it'll love it.
So it kind of makes it a humid little mini humid area
humid
around
area
it.
Around
yeah.
it. Right.
That sounds good. Thank
and
you
make
very
sh-
much,
make,
and have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, same thing
all
to
right.
you.
Thanks, Rita. Have a good day.
I wanted to add something to that, Jay, is
yep.
that a lot of times those plants come in a little, like a foil, colorful foil little sleeve, I call it.
Yeah,
okay?
Sure.
A pot cover. And so just make sure when you do water it thoroughly that you take that sleeve off and you dump it out, or take it out of the sleeve and take it over to the sink and water at the sink so drains right through, and then drains, leave it out of that sleeve for a bit so it drains out, drip dries, and mm-hmm. then put it back in the sleeve so there's not water sitting in the bottom of the sleeves. And that goes for your poinsettias, your Christmas cactus, whatever you buy will have that little sleeve on it. Make sure that the water is not sitting in there, and the plant's not sitting in that all the time, because the roots will rot, and then your plant won't do so well.
Right. They just don't like that at all.
Yeah,
right.
At all.
Okay.
Nope.
Let's take a quick break. Our first break is coming up here now. We've got a text in from Diane in Langham. A couple Christmas cactus pictures. We'll go over that in a second. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay Thomas. We've got Rick Van Dyvendyke here, and Jill is away. She's in New York right now, having a good time out there. Amazing to be there this time of year. We're looking like Christmas. I was at Dutch Growers recently. Was it last weekend? Yeah, it was last weekend.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, it was, you know, people were there and
oh, yeah.
just...
Yeah,
it was great.
Everybody's smiling, and I was there on the weekend here, and as soon as I got back, I went and checked things out, and everybody's just smiling, and everybody's picking up their Christmas trees and picking up their Christmas gifts and that kind of stuff. It's just seeing people with smiles on their faces. That's just, you know, one thing. They come in the garden center because they look at the plants, and they come in, and you can tell the people that have an artificial tree.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Because they go into the Christmas tree lot, right? Because
yes.
it's in the greenhouse. And they come in the door, and they just go and take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Take a look, quick scan around the whole place, and then they walk back into the store. They just want that smell.
Well, it's true, though. It's true. It absolutely is. We picked up a bunch of greens. I was telling, you know, listeners and Jill this last week, and we picked up a bunch of greens and used, like, the wilt-proof
yeah.
stuff on them. But I had them laid out in my garage for
yeah.
the night to kind of let them set.
Yeah.
And man, the garage smelled so good yeah. the next morning. When you even that's just even hand cut stuff,
yeah.
not even a
yeah.
whole tree, you know.
Yeah.
So, that smell is incredible. And you know, to that point, I was also out yesterday. We were doing some shopping, my wife and I, and it was great to see it, because it's kind of a childhood memory and sort of an old school way. And what I mean by that is, in the parking lot at the Lawson Heights Mall,
yeah.
there still is, you know, a a fence that gets set up.
Yep.
A Christmas tree lot goes up, and it's a little old 60s or 70s camper that gets kind of pushed in, and it must have a wood stove in it or something. Yep. There's a little chimney in it. And, you know, but it's that iconic little small Christmas tree lot.
Yep.
It was just great to see that still is a thing. Yep. That still, you know, happens. And
you don't see them as much anymore, but there are around.
There's some of those Christmas traditions that sort of stuck around, and you really appreciate them, you know. Our world has changed so much in the last 20, 30, 40 years, right? Yeah. Things are very different, but there's some things that have stayed the same, which is nice to see.
Yeah, back when I was a kid, back when the Zellers on 8th Street, right? The Wiseman.
Right.
It was the Wiseman, right? It was the club, right? And they had the Wiseman. They had the big Christmas tree stand at the Zellers and on 8th Street. And that's where a lot of people went and got their trees from.
Absolutely. So it's nice to see that still happens. 1-877-332-8255. I think a lot of Christmas is got a lot to do with that nostalgic feeling, memories, you know, people, food, people that are not with us anymore, all kinds of stuff like that, right? So, All right, this is Diane. She's in Langham. She sent us a text, 1-877-332-8255. I sent two pictures of my Christmas cactus. It's covered in sort of these dry brownish spots, and it is a little brown at the edges, and I've had little dots fall from it. What's wrong with it? It looks like it's blooming and growing, but sort of looks pretty terrible, and I moved it away from my other plants. So she did send us a picture of that thing. What do you think that is, Rick? It looks sort of like, I don't want to say the word scaly, but kind of in that way, right?
Yeah, just make sure it looks like, but basically what you have does those kind of things, you see these brown blotches on them, on the stems.
And they kind of dried up little sections, and
watch your watering, okay? A lot of that happens from watering. And so what you want to do is you want to keep them in just more of on the dry side. And not too wet at all, because if you get too wet, you'll be those blotches, okay?
Okay,
for sure.
Okay.
So that's where they'll start from. And so making sure that you don't get it too wet, and you want it to dry out almost completely between waterings.
Got to remember, it is part of the cactus family.
It's part of the cactus family.
All right.
And then also make sure that, you know, the type of soil... can't really see from that picture.
We can kind of see a little bit of the soil.
It looks like the size of the perlite on the top, it might be a cactus type of soil. So what you may want to do is you may want to actually even transplant it and then get some cactus type of soil so that you have good drainage out of that pot. That's important.
For Diane, though, if it's blooming and growing, do you transplant it while it's blooming?
Not when it's blooming. Okay. No, but just wait until, because it'll be finished blooming probably in January or so, middle of January, and then you can transplant it then. But put it into a cactus type of a soil which is really porous, okay? So it lets it dry out, and then so making sure that when it's in, that's the only time you really keep it a little bit on the moist side is when it is blooming, okay?
Right.
But other than that, just water it sparingly, and that's what they like, and make sure lots of light. It does like lots of light, so making sure that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to have direct sunlight, although that would be good for it, but near a bright window. It doesn't like being on the north side of the house, like the north window or an east window. You want to be in a room, at least in a room, sitting on the coffee table or whatever, or on, you know, close to the windowsill on a south or west exposure.
Okay. All right. Linda's in Regina on the text line and says, I've got an orchid in a small 3-inch container.
Okay, yes.
That's pretty little,
that's
right?
That's little, yep.
The plant is in a sleeve. Can I take this out and replant it? If so, what kind of soil?
Yeah. There again, there's just a straight potting soil you can use.
The
only problem you can use, the best type is when it's that small, you can use a regular type of soil. But like you said, an orchid bark is best. There's also basically a clay pellets that you can use as well, because they hold moisture and then they let the water go through. But the biggest key, Jay, is no matter what type of soil you use, is make sure you have an orchid type of a pot.
That's right.
Okay. An orchid pot basically has either larger holes on the bottom, how the pots have holes in the bottom, but they come up over up the side a bit. Usually come about a half inch up the side as well. Mm-hmm. Or otherwise they actually have holes in the side of the pot. So lots of, just like, because naturally when they grow on a tree, right, where the leaves have fallen down in the crotches of the trees and those kind of things. Yep. And natively, that's where they grow, right in the crotches of trees where all the compost is and everything
there's
else.
Moss
and then
stuff
there's
like
roots
that.
Growing, and they have a whole bunch of air roots, right? And they're just taking moisture out of the air and that. So it's, so that's why you want to make sure find an orchid pot is the key.
Some of those orchid pots are like a double pot. So what I mean is there's a decorative nice pot on the outside. Yep. And then there inside of that is that just fits inside is a sleeve, right? Yep. And that plastic sleeve or inner pot, that one usually has lots of holes in it and stuff like that. So I've got a setup like that with my orchid that always is blooming. So what I do, because the outside one holds water, but the inside one has got holes.
Yep.
So I treat it like more like a cactus, to be honest, right? Like I don't overwater this thing. No. You just kind of water it when you remember to.
And then you take it over to the sink.
Right. So I take it over to the sink. I use an orchid fertilizer, but what I do is I leave the sleeve, the whole thing in the decorative pot.
Yep.
And I fill it right up to the top with water.
Yep.
And I let it sit for about 20 minutes or so. And all the bark mulch kind of absorbs the moisture.
Yep.
It kind of gets, you know, lodged with moisture. Like a sponge, basically.
Yep.
Then I take the whole plant in the plastic sleeve out of the decorative pot, set it into the sink, and then it drains itself out. But then you got all this nice, very moist, damp bark that the roots are sitting in, but it's not sitting in water.
In water.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. If you have a decorative pot that you have, but you can't find an orchid pot, you can just go to the garden center, buy just a green plastic or like azalea pot, or it's just a green plastic pot.
Yeah.
Some of them might be brown or whatever, or look like a terracotta color, but they're plastic. And now you can drill holes in the side of it.
Exactly.
Right? Because you're not going to see it anyways, because you got it in a decorative pot. Ooh. But then make sure you stick a few rocks or something like that on the bottom of your decorative pot on the outside, so that when you sit the other pot inside, it's sitting up off the bottom. So it's not ever sitting in water.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then that way, you got a perfect or very inexpensive orchid pot with a nice decorative pot around it.
Right. So you just have to kind of make your own orchid pot, so to speak.
Yep.
That's the trick, though, is so, Linda, for that, to answer that question took us a while, but, you know, you can, you can transplant that, right, into a slightly bigger one, and then look for that
But there's orchid. Lots of orchid media. Like, like there's all different types, whether it be the ones with the orchid bark or the ones with the clay pellets or all different types.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. 1-877-332-8255. So, Rick, you've been back. What else is happening in the garden center right now?
Oh, Christmas trees, that's still going strong.
Right.
And people, and I saw people in the plant department. It's quite amazing that you're seeing people that are buying even plants for gifts, you know, because there's lots of different types of plants, you know, that are out there. And so people are buying plants for gifts. And of course, I saw, you know, a bunch of waxed amaryllis bulbs going out. But people are just, they're in the mood.
That's right.
They're just smiling in the mood, and a lot of them come in groups and they're shopping together, and it's just fun. And the staff are all, you know, they're all in the mood right now too. So it's really good. We actually have our Christmas staff party tonight. So, we have a great staff. I mean, it's the culture at the Garden Center is just amazing. It really is. And, it's fun. It's fun to be there.
Awesome. Hey, this is we'll answer this really quick because we got to go to our break. Orchids, how long do the blossoms last? Daryl sent us a picture of a nice pink one going strong. And Daryl says it's been months.
It does.
Yeah, they do last.
They do last. That's one thing I tell people, that even if you want to give an orchid as a gift, it's such an easy plant to take care of, really.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, Daryl, no surprise that it, like months, no problem. And, 2-3 sometimes.
Yeah. And then sometimes it'll take 1 or 2 months off. And then you can get it to rebloom for you again, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And what do you do to get it to rebloom?
Well, we'll save that for after the break.
Okay, right.
How about we do that?
Okay.
All right. Stick around. I'm Jay with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay Thomas. We've got Rick Van Dyvendyke here, and Jill is away. Time to take your calls and take your texts. 1-877-332-8255. We will get back to the question Rick asked me right before the break, which is,
what do you do to get your orchid to rebloom?
Exactly. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, we're going to take a call that's come in, and this is Derek, who's in Regina. Hi, Derek. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. So, so I was calling. I guess I got, I had the chance to pick up some 6-7 foot tall baby Colorado spruce trees here in the fall. So yep. I bought them maybe 3 weeks ago or so, and I'm getting ready. I'd like to plant them or do something with them now. Is that, like, I'm wondering if that's a good idea, or if
absolutely.
they'd be fine in the burlap sack over winter. Like, I'm just not sure.
No, you can still dig in the ground where you are?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yep, put them in the ground.
Okay.
Absolutely, put them in the ground. Don't leave them out of the ground.
Yeah. Okay.
Nope. Get them in as soon as you can and take your tank or whatever you have, you know, and water them in.
Okay. Yep. Is fertilizer a good idea?
Don't need it right now. You can fertilize in the spring.
Okay. So just douse them with a good douse of water and topsoil back in there.
Yeah. Give them a good soak and then plant them right now, because those roots, if you leave them above the ground, you're going to have to heal them in or something. Because you just leave them on top of the ground, you'll have root damage on them. Okay.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And so you want to get them in the ground. So yeah, if you're in an area where you can still dig, and a lot of people can, I mean, I see a lot of people, they're still digging foundations and that. So, I mean, and the frost is not down that deep yet. And so, yeah, put it in the ground.
Okay. Yep, that works good. And then topsoil, like, should I just buy garden bags or I don't think any of the landscape stores are open anymore. It's important to put topsoil into that, I imagine.
If you can, because you got them in a how they're either in a tree spade basket, right? In a basket, in a burlap.
Yep.
And so, what are you doing? What are you digging the hole with?
It'd be like a bobcat or a little tractor.
Little tractor, okay, yeah. So the hole will be bigger than the ball. Well, so then if you can fill that, the best for that plant is to fill good topsoil around it rather than, if you dig into the clay, because you'll be down that deep with that type, that size of a root ball. And so try to throw some good topsoil around it, and that's better for it to get a good start rather than throwing the clay back in.
Right, okay. And then fertilize in the spring, and away we go.
Fertilize in the spring, and then get her going, and keep them moist in the spring as well, and they'll just take off. They won't even look back.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome. Well, best of luck with that. Planting Christmas trees in the winter.
Winter.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for the help, guys.
You're welcome. Take it easy. Yep. Take care. All right. Bye-bye. Bye. 1-877-332-8255. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Like we said, the roots aren't going to be very happy being above ground with that.
No. Like I had some trees that are left over in baskets and that, and we put them underneath the insulated tarp for the wintertime.
Yes. Big piled up, lots of double or triple layer insulated tarp, and then they kind of make it, right?
They make it because it's big enough that you still have a heat sink underneath, so it doesn't get, it basically stays about -2 to -5 underneath that blanket all winter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter once you get a layer of snow over top, mm-hmm. it just stays nice. So, but leaving on top of the ground, they get under stress because the roots do take some damage when it's -40 out, and those roots around the edge of the ball sticking up above the ground. It's amazing. Just being in the ground and have a snow cover over top, how much that protects the plants. It's huge.
Yeah, perfect.
Yep.
All right, 1-877-332-8255. Back to the text line in a second. I want to answer that question of how do you get that to rebloom. So we tried this trick, and I have tried it, and it works. It worked for me.
So first of all, when do you cut the brack off? After the flowers are dropped, when do you cut the brack off? When do you do it?
I don't wait till it's all gross and brown. Yep. I let the flowers all drop off.
Yep.
And then, probably in a week, then I'll cut it off.
Yeah. So what you want to do is you don't want to cut off when it's green yet. You want the energy to go back down into the roots.
Right.
Okay. And then you got this little, where the leaves came out of the little bract, you got these little nodules. And you want to cut it down to just above the nodule that's closest to the soil.
Yeah.
That's where you don't want to cut down below that, but just above that nodule.
Yeah.
And because the reason why I also like Jade to leave it until that bract turns brown for, because sometimes what will happen when it finishes flowering, sometimes about a third of the way up, it'll send out a side bract out of them.
Okay, I've never had that one happen, but I believe you.
That happens sometimes. So that's why I like leaving totally, just go brown or black, right? Then cut it off, and then, Jay, you tell them how you...
So the trick that we've discovered works, and we had a listener call in and say this, and it's a banana. And so if you're wanting to get that orchid to bloom, it's not blooming.
Yep.
And I tried it. It worked for me. Is take a banana, a ripe one, but don't have to peel it, nothing like that.
Yep.
And I simply set it on the soil or on the edge of the pot. It just depends on where, how much room you've got, but just right in there next to the plant on its side, just lay it there. Take a plastic shopping bag or a plastic garbage bag and encase the whole plant, plant and all, pot and all, everything in the plastic bag. You don't have to be ridiculous, but I tucked the whole thing underneath. So that basically it was sort of sealed off. And I let it sit for 24 hours, a whole day, a whole night, back at the same time the next day, right? That ethylene gas that's released by the banana ripening triggers that plant to kind of go, oh, I got to reproduce. And you know what? It wasn't a couple weeks later. I had a little shoot coming out. More flowers came.
And as I said, it's just amazing how much of the year that plant blooms. It's crazy. Yeah.
Mine's going right now, and I've got four or five more left to open. So probably by the time we actually do have Christmas, I'll have a full in bloom.
Yep.
And then it'll last probably till the end of February at least.
Yep.
Those flowers. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So keep them going. 1-877-332-8255. We're going to go back to the phones here because we got another orchid question. So let's do that with Doris. Hi, Doris. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. It's pretty cold here.
Here too, you bet.
I've got an orchid that I was given by my kids on Mother's Day, and it had blossoms, and they stayed on it for about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then they fell off, and now I've got a new stem, and I've got blossoms coming. Is that normal for it to bloom again?
Yeah, so like we were just talking about that, it'll bloom for most of the year. And sometimes it'll take a month or maybe 2 months off, between bloom times. But it'll bloom. It's probably one of the plants that is the easiest to take care of and blooms the most out of any house plant you could ever have.
Oh. Well, what do you have to fertilize it? Because I've never fertilized it.
Yeah, get an orchid fertilizer, and you just it's a powder. You can mix with water, or there's ones that even have droplets if you want. A Schultz is one. There's two different types, and if you use a light mix, I mean, Jay, almost every second watering, I think you basically.
Just about every second watering, Doris, I use the fertilizer. I use the drops because it's really easy. You just drop the drops, a fertilizer.
Seven drops per liter of water.
Yeah, into the watering can.
Oh, okay.
Mix it up and then use that.
Yep.
You know what? Mine, Doris, bloomed straight solid, like one stem after another.
Is that right? I've never had an orchid before.
Yep. Yeah, it went for 8 years doing that.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Just off and on blooming all the time.
Blooming for eight years straight. So you might get lucky.
In a very small pot.
Yeah, so what you want to do is when you go pick up your fertilizer, pick up another orchid pot that's just a little bit bigger, okay, and then get yourself some orchid bark, okay? Because what happens is that when you got given that orchid, it's in a little kind of a sort of an off clear, not really type of clear, a smoky clear type of pot a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then it's full of, they put a lot of moss into that because through shipping and everything else, they don't want them to totally dry out. But if you take them over to the sink and wash all that moss off with off the roots very carefully and then put it into the orchid bark, and then that plant will love it.
Is that right?
Yes.
I didn't know anything about this orchid. I was surprised that it was making blossoms again.
Yep, you bet. You'll just keep going and going.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I am. And I only water it about once a week.
Yep. That's plenty.
That's plenty.
Yep, you bet.
That's plenty.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Take care. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, we're going to take our next break. A couple texts to get to when we get back, and we'll answer Daryl's. Is it Daryl's text? There's a cactus question from Jeanette in Corman Park. Daryl and a few others. So stick around. I'm Jay with Jill. Sorry, no Jill. I'm Jay with Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I'm Jay Thomas. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I've got Rick here with me. We've got a couple texts to get through before the end of the show, so let's do that. Jeanette sent us a picture. She's in South Corman Park and says, please tell me if the leaves go pale on a plant, is it too much or too little water. I assume this is some sort of succulent or cactus. Don't know the name. And Jeanette says, thanks in advance. So we got that picture of that. Of that. So Jeanette, it's a cactus or succulent. They're both related anyways.
That's right.
Right. So whether you call it one or the other, it doesn't really matter in this case.
Now with this one here, one thing that's easy to do with this one is that this feel the leaves. They should feel a little plump. Okay.
Don't let yourself get poked. This one's got spikies
coming
out of it.
But feel it, and you should feel a little bit of plumpness in the leaves. If they feel like they're wrinkly and getting dry, then you need to water it. But otherwise, if they feel plump, don't water it. Because that looks like you may have been watered, you know, one too many times, you know? Because of that look on the leaves. Now, that can happen if it's been bone dry for a long time. You can get that look. But most time I see that look, it's like literally 8 times out of 10, see that look, it's because, you know, they've just soaked the bejeebers out of it and had it just really wet.
I think I don't want to say older houseplants, but tropical houseplants, ones we used to, mostly see around, needed that. Let's say a lot of people watered a houseplant once a week.
Yep.
Right. They just, a lot of tropical plants have to maintain a very even moisture to be happy. Yep. Right. A cactus or a succulent, when I take care of them and I've had luck with them, is they're okay with ups and downs. What I mean is they can handle being dried out.
But that's why when I tell you to feel the leaves and they should feel a little plump is because they store a lot of the moisture in those leaves.
Right.
Okay. And they just use that as their reserve. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when you start seeing them start feeling soft, you know, you can put your fingers on it. They don't feel like they're really plump, you know,
right.
And they start feeling soft. That's when you know you need to fill up the tank.
Yeah.
Basically. Right?
So instead of keeping it even wet all the time, a cactus likes to be more dry. Is wait till it dries out tank's running out.
And filling up the tank doesn't mean you let them sit in water. Okay. You just need to give them a water. It'll fill up the tank very easily, quickly itself, you know, by the water. Cause remember a lot of cactuses in nature, only gets water like rain sometimes once or twice a year. Right?
Right.
In the desert.
Yeah.
And they store all that, and that's how they survive.
So to answer your question, Jeanette, we think that looks like it's maybe a little bit too much water in this one.
That's what it looks like.
But we kind of explained there how to figure that out. Yep. Okay, 1-877-332-8255. This is with, back to an orchid question with Daryl, and he sent us a picture of the one that's blooming for a long time. When we, he put in brackets, she. I think he means his wife, transplants it, what do we do with the air roots?
Air roots, what you can do is if they're nice and plump and they're tender,
green and everything,
just leave them, okay? But if they're dried up and wrinkly, you can actually just trim those off.
I take, when I'm transplanting mine, I often take those ones that are all sticking out everywhere, and I sort of tuck them back in, into the soil, because then a lot of the old roots in the soil have already expired. What I mean is they've gone through their cycle, they're done, so I put those ones back down, I bury it again in the nice bark mulch, and then it eventually sends up some more.
See, and what happens in nature, right, is that, the leaves keep dropping in the trees, whether the windstorms or in the falls for them, and then it recovers the roots and it just keeps adding on, right?
Mm-hmm. This is Nora says, can you help? I brought home a very small Boston ferns. They're not looking great. Where am I supposed to put them? How do I water? Should I be misting them? They're near a vent and morning sun.
Okay, so that vent is a problem.
Yes.
They don't like having that, that they like to have more humid. And so that vent is drying them out all the time. And they don't need direct sunlight. Okay, so lots of bright light. Okay, but indirect light. So away from a window. And that works really well. They can be on a north side, but as long as it's close to the window. Okay.
Right.
That's the big one.
Should she mist them?
She can mist them if they want, but just there again, having that, if it's in a hanging pot, then you can mist them. If it's in a pot on a table or something like that, you can put another bigger tray underneath it and put a pebble tray underneath it and keep a little bit of water in there so that humidity rises up through the plant, but the plant can't be sitting in water.
We do want even moisture with a Boston fern, right?
Absolutely.
We don't want the opposite of what we just talked about.
You don't want to go wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry. You want to just get nice, even moisture.
Nice, even moisture, right?
Not wet, not too wet.
And then the other thing I was thinking of with Nora is if you just brought it home recently and it did get a touch of cold to it, like if it got outside and got some below zero temperatures, you may have had a little bit of shock to it, right?
And then in the wintertime here, once a month fertilize.
Okay, so that was the other question. She said she was told not to fertilize till spring.
Yep.
Let's do it once a month
just
right now.
Just once a month, yeah.
Okay.
Just give her fertilize once a month.
Now, let's see if we can squeeze in one more text. We've got 1 minute. Ooh, I don't know. Valerie's in Saskatoon. Amaryllis bulb from last Christmas and let it grow until September. Put it in a dark closet for 6 weeks. Took it out middle October. Replant it, water it. Sitting in the south window. I've got new leaves growing, but no flowers. I can do to get the flowers?
You know what? Just pop it out of the pot.
Yep.
And then plant it right back in the same pot again.
Like right now?
Right now.
That might trigger it.
That'll trigger. That little bit of a shock will trigger to push up.
One more shock.
Yeah.
There you go, Valerie. Hope that answers your question. We are pretty much wrapping things up here. Well, there's one text in from Janice. We're going to answer your text and text you back, Janice, about what to do with the plant you're talking about there. But we are kind of out of time here. So anyways, enjoy. We'll see you same time, same place next weekend. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This has been Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.